I wonder if you can think back to a time where you received just an amazing gift. Maybe a gift that just totally exceeded your expectations of it. Maybe you asked for it, maybe you knew it was coming, but you received it and it was just more than you thought it was going to be. I received such a gift already this year. My family has had the opportunity to do a family Christmas already, and so we've already opened up a bunch of presents, and I asked for this gift, and it was not as, and when I got it and I opened it up and I used it, it was way better than I thought it was going to be. It's a spatula. It's, now you may not think this is that's a great gift, but it's an amazing gift. It's a fish spatula, to be precise. That doesn't mean that it's a spatula that's shaped like a fish. It's a metal spatula with slots cut in it, and it's very flimsy, and it's bendable, and it's great for cooking. We have other spatulas in the house, but as far as I'm concerned, this is the only spatula I need in my kitchen, is this fish spatula that I got for Christmas. It's an amazing gift, and I think it's awesome. Now, you may not think that's awesome, but maybe you can think of a time where you did receive a gift that you were like, this is a lot better than I thought it was going to be. Maybe you've received some amazing gifts over the Christmas years. But I can tell you, obviously, that whatever gift you may receive from somebody, whatever gift I have ever received from somebody, or gift I will receive from anybody, will pale in comparison to that gift given at Christmas 2,000 some years ago. The greatest gift, the gift you can't buy at Amazon, you can't get it at Walmart, it never goes on sale, it never sold out, that gift that was given at Christmas 2,000 years ago is the greatest gift given to humanity. And I want to share with you tonight from Psalm 130 that the gift you need most this Christmas is the gift of hope of Christ. Because that was the gift 2,000 years ago, the gift of hope in Christ Jesus. The gift you need most this Christmas is the hope of Christ. I think Psalm 130 shows us that. Let's go back to the beginning of the psalm. In verses 1 and 2, we read this. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. And then in verse 3, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? This psalm begins with a cry to the Lord, a cry for help. The psalmist who wrote this, not sure if he needed something in particular, but Israel used this psalm in their worship as they were journeying up to the temple for temple worship. And so Israelites would sing this song. Many of them, as a group perhaps, would sing the song as they're going up to the temple. And so it begins with a cry for God's mercy. But instead of thinking about a particular need that the psalmist has, I think that we're led to a larger need that the psalmist, and in fact all Israelites, would have known they have. And the clue for that is in verse 3. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Israel was aware of the problem of sin. The deepest need for humanity is to have our sins, our record of sins, wiped away. Israel was very, knowledgeable about the events of the Garden of Eden. God has given, those to them in their word, in their Old Testament scriptures that they had. Remember the Garden of Eden where God created Adam and Eve? We read about it tonight in that book. And it was perfect. And Adam and Eve were given the blessing of God, and they were told to rule over creation, to be fruitful and to multiply and enjoy creation, and most importantly, to enjoy the presence of God. However, they disobeyed. And in so doing, they plunged humanity into sin. They broke the world. The world is now broken because of their sin. And also, every human being from Adam and Eve on inherits sinful nature. So that the greatest need of humanity for all of us, not just the Israelites, but for all of us, is to have this sin removed. I kind of think of this idea of sin, of a record of sins. It's like a big snowfall. I don't know. We obviously had some snow in the last couple days. I grew up in Ottawa. I have a couple brothers. And from what I remember as a kid, Ottawa gets a lot more snow than we get here. And I grew up with brothers, so I would hear the familiar call in the wintertime of, boys, put on your snow gear, go shovel the driveway. And so we would go out and we would do it. And most of the time I enjoy shoveling the driveway, but I remember occasions when it was just, it felt like it was snowing for days. And you move in the heavy snow, you finally finish the driveway, and you look back up to the top of the driveway, and you might as well start again because the snow is falling that fast. Or you just finished clearing, you've probably been there, you finished clearing the bottom of the driveway, and then you see that blue light at the end of the road. That's right. The snowplow comes and you're doing it again. If you, O Lord, kept a record of our sins, O Lord, who could stand? Sin keeps piling up and piling up and piling up. Imagine God's record of sin that he has kept for Israel and also for us. Our greatest need is to have that sin removed. Everyone needs the hope of Christmas. That's what verses 1 through 3 show us. Everyone needs the hope of Christmas because everyone has a record of sins that needs to be removed. Not just Israelites, but us as well. Christmas confronts us with that need. It forces us to ask the question, why this baby? Why? Why? Babies are born all the time. Why this baby? The answer is because this baby is the answer to sin. This baby is the answer to our deepest need as humanity, to have our sins removed, to have all of our sins removed. That's why the gift you need most at Christmas is the hope of Christ. So we see that everybody has this need. We all need our sins to be removed because if God kept a record of them, which he does, who can stand? We move on to verses 4 and 6. And verses 4 to 6 show us that God's hope at Christmas was always his plan. God's hope at Christmas was always his plan. Thankfully, God does not leave us with a question of to where to look to remove our sins. In verse 4, he gives us the answer as to where to go to get our sins removed. Look at verse 4 again with me. The psalmist writes, "But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared." That word feared has the idea of being in awe of God, of who he is and what he's done, and holding him in the greatest majesty possible. Because with God, there is forgiveness. He alone can forgive. Now, as I said before, this psalm was used by the Israelites as they went up to the temple to worship. One of the things they do at the temple is called the peace offering. It's an offering for the forgiveness of sins. And so the Israelites would go to the temple time and time again to offer an animal for the forgiveness of sins. And the image, of course, is that the human is sinful, but the sin is going on to the animal as the animal dies, and therefore the sins are placed onto it and removed from the human. God has given them forgiveness of sins, but there's a problem with that, is that that sacrifice happens over and over and over and over and over again. It's a reminder that sin is not fully dealt with the blood of animals. Sin is not fully dealt with the blood of animals. It's something more has to come. And the Israelites know this. And of course, doing the offering over and over and over again was pointing to the day when something perfect would come to fix the problem of sin once and for all. I love what the psalmist says in verse 5. "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope." You see, they know something is coming. They know that God is going to provide something that takes away sin forever. It's not a question of if, but it's a question of when. And there's a deep waiting for that to come. My soul's waiting for the Lord when he will do this. And then he says, of course, "And in his word I put my hope," because God has given hints and glimpses in his word all throughout the Old Testament. It's not a matter of if this is going to happen, it's a matter of when God is going to send this redemption for sins. My kids visited their grandparents, their Nana and Papa, about a month back, and they went shopping with their Nana and Papa, and Nana and Papa let the kids pick out a Christmas gift for Mom and Dad, for each of us. Pick whatever they want, they can buy it for Mom and Dad. I don't know what I'm getting from my youngest daughter, but she's given me hints. The hints that she's given me is that I'm going to like it, and she bought it so that she can share it with Daddy. So I don't know exactly what it is. I know I'm getting it tomorrow, and I've had glimpses of this. I have an idea of what it could be, but I don't know the full picture of it, but I will tomorrow. God is like that in his word. He's given prophecies of this one that would come to take away sin. The earliest prophecy we talked about in the garden, when God promised Eve that one day from her seed, there would be someone who comes to crush the head of the serpent and to deal with sin forever. But in the meantime, Israel waits. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord. I love this. More than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. The promise is coming, just like the dawn comes for the watchman. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. I'm sure many a child in this room has felt like a watchman waiting for the morning on Christmas Eve. Actually, I'm sure if you're an adult here, you could probably think back to when you were a kid on Christmas Eve, being a watchman waiting for the morning. I certainly was when I was a kid. A tradition at our house is my brothers and I would sleep in the same room on Christmas Eve. Two things were true on Christmas Eve. It was the hardest night to fall asleep. Kids, you know that, right? Tonight is going to be the hardest night to fall asleep. And number two is that you wake up super early. And so what happened in our house is we would convince one of the brothers to go into mom and dad's room and to look at their alarm clock. And if there was a 4 or a 5 on the alarm clock, mom and dad said, get back into bed. It wasn't morning yet. But if there was a 6 on the alarm clock, we were allowed to wake them up. And we can get on with our Christmas day. I felt like a watchman waiting for the morning. It's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. Christ has always been God's plan at Christmas time. Christ was not an afterthought. Christ was not a second idea for God. Christ coming at Christmas time was always God's plan. It's not like God had to run out on Christmas Eve looking for a gift for humanity. Christ coming at Christmas time was the plan from eternity past. It's not a matter of if God is going to save his people. It's a matter of when. The gift you need most at Christmas is the hope of Christ. It's always been God's plan. The gift you need most at Christmas is the hope of Christ. Well, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. The next couple verses show us that the hope of Christ is before you now and is yours through faith. The hope of Christ is before you now and is yours through faith. Unfortunately, for whomever wrote Psalm 130, he or she did not live to see the day that Christ was born. They died before Christ was born. But nonetheless, they give a call in verses 7 to 8 to, although we don't know when God is going to do this, we can trust that he is going to do this. And that's why we read in verse 7, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For three reasons. One, for with the Lord is unfailing love. That word means God always keeps his promises for his glory and for the love of his people. That's a promise-keeping God. That word means a promise-keeping God because of his love for us. Number two, and with him is full redemption. The word there is abundant redemption, more than the peace offering. And in verse 8, he himself will redeem Israel from all of their sins. So he calls to his fellow Israelites, put your hope in the Lord. If the Lord is unfailing love, with him is full redemption, and he himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. So whoever wrote Psalm 130, don't know who it was, they knew God was going to do something, but they didn't live to see the day. We, however, we look back on that day. We look back on that day 2,000 years ago, and we have the luxury of knowing that it did happen. They never saw that day, but we can remember it. And tonight on Christmas Eve, that is what we're doing. We are remembering the hope of Christ that came into the world around 2,000 years ago. We remember that day. The dawn had finally come. In fact, I like to think of it like this. We got a bunch of snow. I've already played in the snow. If you haven't, you need to get out there and play in the snow. We got a bunch of snow the last couple of days, and I still love it when we get a bunch of snow and play in it. But you know, maybe you've done this before. You know that there's a blizzard coming. You know there's a giant snowfall coming, kids, and it's in the forecast. Maybe there's like a radar that's showing you that it's coming, and you're waiting for the snow to arrive. You know it's coming. It's just a matter of when, and you're looking out the window, right? And you're waiting for the snow. And then all of a sudden, one snowflake falls. And then all of a sudden, a few minutes later, a second snowflake falls. and then three, and then four, and then a few minutes later, the sky is, you know, twinkling with snowflakes, and then a few minutes later, the blizzard has finally arrived. That's a picture that I get here with the coming of Christ at Christmas, right? Remember that night 2,000 years, don't remember the night 2,000 years ago, but think of that night 2,000 years ago. There's a couple who's traveling to Bethlehem. She's pregnant. A bunch of people are there because of the census. It's kind of an ordinary evening. They get there. There's no room for them in the inn, of course. And so they have to go to the stable. And so I can imagine Mary and Joseph getting comfy in the stable. And all of a sudden, a contraction comes. One snowflake. A few minutes later, another contraction. Two snowflakes. A few minutes later, the contractions are coming at regular intervals, and the snowflakes all around. Then before you know it, God incarnate is born into the world. The blizzard has come. The dawn has come. And then angels appear to the shepherds in the fields nearby. At first, it's one announcing the good news that the Savior has come. And then it's a sky full of angels. A sky full of angels singing glory to God. And then at some point, there's a star in the sky, and it's not a regular star, it's a supernatural star that is pointing to where Jesus is going to be. And then it's an announcement. It's an announcement to the world, to those who are not part of Israel, that the Savior of not just Israel, but the Savior of the world has arrived. Hope burst onto the scene at Christmas time 2,000 years ago. Unfailing love was born on that day 2,000 years ago. Full redemption, abundant redemption was born on that night 2,000 years ago. God himself was born that night 2,000 years ago. Christmas was the start of this hope, but it wasn't the end. The goal was the cross. The mission is the cross, and the seal of that is the resurrection. As we talked about already tonight, Jesus was born. He grew up a sinless life for the sole purpose of dying on the cross for your sin. He took your sin as he died on the cross. If you believe in Jesus, if you put your faith in him, you have full redemption. You have God's unfailing love on you because God himself has taken your sin. It is not available by bribing God. It is not available by doing good, whether you come to church every Sunday, or you come to church on Christmas Eve alone, God cannot be bribed for this gift. It is yours, but it is yours through faith. We must come to God through faith in Jesus Christ to receive the hope of Christ. I pray that you've done that tonight. If you haven't done that, it is yours before you now. It is yours through faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus tonight and be saved. Because the best part about this is God's not done yet. Just like they were waiting in Psalm 130, God's people wait again tonight. The birth of Christ happened. The cross happened. The resurrection happened. He is right now at the right hand of the Father, but he will come again. And so we wait like these Israelites. We wait for the Lord to come again. And when Christ comes a second time, he will gather all of those who have put their faith in him. And we will live with him forever and ever and ever and ever in his perfect presence. God is not done yet. And so I leave you with this. Church, if you're listening online, put your hope in the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord this Christmas and receive the best gift that you could possibly get. The gift you need most this Christmas is the hope of Christ. Would you pray with me? Jesus, thank you that you were born 2,000 some years ago, that you are fully God, you are fully human, that you grew up to die on the cross for our sins and was resurrected again on the third day, that you were glorified to heaven and you offer forgiveness for all those who come to you. And thank you, Jesus, that you will come again one day to make all things new. You will gather your people. You will bring them to yourself and we will sing your praises and worship you in glory forever and ever. And I pray that all of those people who are here tonight and who hear this or watching this online would put our hope in you, Jesus. the greatest gift. We thank you for that. And as we sing these last couple songs, I pray that you would draw our hearts towards you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.